This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Never settle. Unless it's into the electrifying BMW i4. Blend the lines of cutting-edge and classic with groundbreaking technology at your fingertips. Experience M-engineered precision while you twist around every turn. After all, electric doesn't have to be static. If you thought EVs couldn't live up to your expectations, then you've never experienced the ultimate electric driving machine. The 100% electric 2025 BMW i4.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer, not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward, giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start, because where you start matters.
We are days away from pitchers and catchers reporting, less than 50 days away from opening day, so let's head out to the Window Nation fan guest hotline. And joining us now, a guy who used to come on pretty regularly when he was with the Orioles. He's now with the Cincinnati Reds. It's outfitter Austin Hayes. And Austin, thank you as always for your time. We truly appreciate it. You were always generous with us when you played here in Baltimore, and appreciate you jumping on with us today. So I'll start with the deadline. Like, we haven't talked to you since then. Were you surprised? Like, how was that day for you, knowing you were leaving the organization you spent your whole career with?
Yeah, everything happened really fast. I woke up that morning, just was making some coffee, and I see that Elias was FaceTiming me, so that kind of got me going. I'm like, I think that might be getting traded right now. So he just let me know that they had gone through with the trade with Philly, and then I was in Philly that night wearing a uniform in the dugout. So it happened really quick. You always know there's a chance when you get to that point in your career, and I wasn't playing every day. I was in the platoon role, so you know there's a chance you might move. It happened really, really quick.
Well, the Orioles, they obviously drafted, developed you. You played your whole career here. What was it like in the Phillies organization?
They're first class with everything. They do a really good job with the families over there, and I mean, they do everything right. I really enjoyed my time there. I was hoping I was going to get to go back and have a full year and have a full camp. I felt like I was just really starting to get to know everybody, but I enjoyed my time there. I wish I would have not had the sickness and kind of everything that, you know, went down in the second half with me personally. It was just a really difficult time for me. So, you know, it was challenging, but I enjoyed the guys there. I enjoyed the staff, and they're first class with everything that they do there.
Like, how much weight did you lose, Austin? Like, what was the extent of this? Because I read some of it, you know, sort of after the fact as you started getting settled in Philadelphia. But obviously, last year, health was an issue.
Yeah, I just had a couple sicknesses that I got last year, and there's still no way to know if they were connected. I got really sick at the end of spring training for a couple weeks, and I ended up losing 10 pounds. And I just was trying to battle back from that in the beginning of the season. I just didn't really play at the end of camp, so I just got off to a cold start, and I was kind of weak, and I was like 185. I normally play at 195, so I was battling through that. I got back and started to feel a little bit better, and then I strained the calf, and I was feeling really good when I got traded. My weight seemed to be back up, and things were going pretty well. My first 2 weeks over there, I felt like myself. I was feeling really good, and then my legs just kind of felt like they were not under me after a couple games. And then continuously got a little bit worse. I strained my hamstring, and then my whole hamstring rehab, I just never felt right. I couldn't get my legs in shape. I was so fatigued, like mentally. I didn't feel like myself. I was really drained, and just the muscle soreness and fatigue that I had was unexplainable. I shouldn't have been feeling the way that I was. So I came back from the hamstring injury, and the rehab just was really rough on me. We were trying to kind of figure out what was going on, but the hamstring was fine. I wasn't in pain. I just was, you know, tired and weak. And then it got to the point where I ended up having to go to the hospital, and we did a bunch of blood work and realized that I was really sick. I was in really bad shape. I had a bad infection that was in my blood.
Oh,
it had gotten into my bloodstream. So I was, you know, just starting to really get bad. So we were able to get me on the right antibiotics and fight that, but we were short on time, you know, and there's not many baseball players have ever had that. So there's not really a rehab process for coming back from a kidney infection. We didn't know how long it was going to take or how quick I could get back. And then, you know, we only had like three AAA games that were left, and I was right at that 2-week mark. So I was still light at the end of the year. But it was the playoffs, man. You do what you got to do to put the jersey on and get back out there. So I felt like I was ready. I was in a good enough spot to play through it. So I was probably down about 5 to 10 pounds, depending on the day.
Wow. We're talking to Austin Hayes. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. Austin, you played your rear end off in that left field here at Camden Yards, the one they moved all the way out, and it was basically a second center field, and you held so much value to them being almost a second center fielder. What was that like playing that left field, and are you aware they're moving the fence back in, and any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I know all the righties there are going to be happy that, that it's coming back in. I'm happy for those guys. I wish they would have done it sooner, but I got to make a lot of great plays there, and I felt like I was able to showcase my ability as an outfielder. And I played center field coming up all through the minors and in college, so you know I always felt like I was still a center fielder at heart. And playing left field there, it was basically a center field. There was just as much room there is in center in most parks. So I think it gave me the opportunity to save a lot of runs and to showcase what I can do in the outfield.
Austin, after you got traded to Philly, were you still keeping in touch with some of your Orioles teammates, keeping in tabs on how the O's were doing? And were you surprised to see them stumble down the stretch?
I was checking in with guys here and there, but I was just really going through a lot with my health seeing a lot of doctors and stuff. So I didn't get to talk to the guys a whole lot. You know, it was just some text messages here and there, occasional FaceTime, but it's baseball, you know. Sometimes you get cold or guys get hurt and you just get in a little bit of a funk. So, you know, it can happen to anybody, but they still got into the playoffs and they came up a little short.
There's been a flurry of outfield signings in the last probably 10 days since you signed with the Reds, a lot of them right-handed hitting outfielders like yourself. Was there ever any part of you that thought maybe there was a reunion to be had here, or maybe you could end up back here in any capacity, or was that sort of out the door after the trade?
I mean, you never know what can happen, and I still have a great relationship with everybody over there. You know, I'm grateful for all the opportunities that I got and was able to establish myself as an everyday player in the big leagues, but, you know, I had just gotten traded from there, so I figured the likelihood of me going back probably wasn't very high.
What was it like, first experience as a free agent this offseason?
It was interesting. It's just kind of funny how slow things can be moving, and then all of a sudden it's your turn. You know, the guys start falling, the dominoes start to fall. You kind of heard from a couple teams, and then you're hearing from everybody at once, and it's like, oh, it's time to make a decision. So it's like really, really slow, and then all of a sudden everything happens quick.
Austin, let's close with this. Number one, assuming we're healthy and gearing to go, and how excited are you to get ready to play for the Cincinnati Reds?
And hitting that ballpark.
Yeah.
I'm so excited, man. I worked really hard this offseason to just make sure that I got my body back to where I always am coming into camp, and I feel strong, my swing feels good, and I'm just really excited to be myself again and just have my energy back and my strength back and just go show everybody what I can do for this team.
Austin Hayes, you're one of the good guys, man. We always appreciate your time. Thank you so much. We'll be rooting for you.
Hope the fam is doing well, yeah. And everybody enjoys Cincinnati, man.
Good health and success in Cincinnati. Stay away from that Skyline chili, though. It's nasty.
All right. Well, yeah, it's good to talk to you guys. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for all the stuff you guys did for the charity.
Yes. No, thank you. Work.
Always giving us a platform to talk about that. So, good luck to you guys this year.
Thank you so much. You, anytime you need to promote anything, we're here for you.
Absolutely.
All right, guys.
Thanks. Austin Hayes, Cincinnati Reds. Man, the health scare. That's scary.
Crazy.
Like, man. Yeah, I knew it was pretty bad, but geez, oh whiz.
That's some scary stuff. Good dude. Like, hopefully, give him a year of health.
That ballpark, very different left field than he's used to.
Yeah. Hey, coming up next, funny thing happened on the way to a Terps blowout win in Columbus, Ohio. We'll recap the loss next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What does it take to change the course of lung disease? It takes groundbreaking research in pursuit of new therapies. It takes the world's leading experts in complex pulmonary conditions focused on restoring patients' quality of life. It takes visionaries to improve treatment options for even the most advanced disease. To lead lung care forward across our region and the world, it takes Temple Health.
I'm a fan.
We had three or four fouls at the end of the first half that were just, you know, bonehead mistakes. You know, you can't march a good – we talked about how good of a free throw shooting team they are, especially their guards. And it just kind of gave them a little – gave them a chance, A, to set up their defense and get a little bit more physical in the defensive end, which they weren't able to do early in the game. And it just gave them a little momentum going into the second half.
That's Kevin – we got some – what was that? That's Kevin Willard talking after the game about what happened at the end of the first half. Maryland led 39-22 at one point and then was outscored 10-2 at the end of the half, only led by 9 at the half. Still had a 9-point lead with 7 minutes to go. I think got it up to 11 at one point, but Ohio State goes on a late run. Maryland could not stop Bruce Thornton, who scored 31, including a late bank three. Ohio State comes back to beat Maryland 73-70.
They gave this game away. There's no two ways about it. They were up 14-2 early. They started making a rash of substitutions, not just bringing a guy out who maybe picked up an early foul, but like wholesale changes. That lead started to dissipate. They still, with their starters back on the court, built it up to 26, and then it eroded from there. 7 of 28 from the floor in the second half. That can't happen on the road. Only 13 three-point attempts for one of the better three-point shooting teams in the Big Ten, and one that had Rice going early. That's not good enough. Only 3 fast break points. That's not them. Outscored 38-28 in the paint, despite Ohio State having a big man disadvantage and getting some guys in foul trouble. I think if it's a normal Jacoby Gillespie game, they win this thing going away. If it's even just an off-shooting Jacoby Gillespie game, but he penetrates 6 or 7 times and goes to the line 5 or 6 times, they knock one of those big men out and they win the game either way. But it wasn't that. Gillespie played only 27 minutes. And if you look at my favorite new metric in college basketball, BPM, which is sort of an all-encompassing efficiency metric, the starters were plus 46 and the bench was minus 49. The bench played a lot, in part because of foul trouble, but I think more because Willard wanted to look at some of them, and he experimented more at the first couple of TV timeouts than I ever thought he would have. I thought he would have saved that for the home game against Rutgers,
yeah.
Not started on the road against Ohio State when you haven't played in 8 days.
We kept talking.
And you're off to a crazy start.
Yeah, we kept talking, especially in the back-to-back road games where it was Illinois and Indiana, where they just weren't playing the bench at all. And even you can say that to Wisconsin game to some extent. We haven't seen him go to the bench that early in a game, and I don't even know how long. And Malachi Palmer,
yeah.
We're knocking off the cobwebs with him. We haven't seen him in a while. When they were rolling offensively, they were 7 for 7 to start this game. It looked like it was a little bit deja vu of the first matchup where Maryland just blitzed them early. And then it got out of whack, and you were able to hold Thornton in check for the first 15 minutes before he went bananas. And then he got into foul trouble, and then it just became a mess from then on.
You mentioned the lack of fast break scoring, and I can think of two off the top of my head, two fast breaks that should have been
slipping,
dunks.
Guys slipping, falling.
Yeah, Miguel falls, and Gapari doesn't go up like he's worried about.
I do wonder if that court was a little slick.
Yeah, could have been.
There was a lot of slick.
Well, they did mention during the broadcast, I guess they play the hockey rink is underneath it. And,
yes.
So. I don't know. They were doing a poor job of trying to mop up. You know, the kids usually go out there when they're on the other side of the court and kind of try to dry it off. But maybe they were doing a poor job. But, yeah, Maryland seemed to be the victim of that. I didn't see Ohio State guys slipping.
I mean, could you imagine if they just take care of business there? And if they even made 10 shots in the second half, they win that game.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about a 5-game win streak. And, I mean, it really it's just
talking
crazy how
seed.
These things – like these seasons just twist and turn and ebb and flow on these moments here and there. And now, all of a sudden, there is a sense of urgency to this Rutgers game again.
You brought it up earlier. If this was a back-and-forth game, they're taking Ohio State's best shot, and you lose by 3 on the road, okay, that's one thing. But to have a 17-point lead and get off to the start that they had, I mean, they weren't missing at all from the mid-range early on in this basketball game. To lose it in that fashion where it was just a slow death there for a while at the end.
What bothered me is, by the way, Juju Reese played his rear end off again, 24 and 13, 10 of 11 from the line. I thought Rodney Rice was really good, though. They sort of almost forgot about him in the second half. Like they should have been feeding him more. But Gillespie, after sitting the last, 6 minutes of the first half, could not get into a rhythm in the second half.
They had
half.
No offense in the second half. There was not. There was no calling card.
Miguel stunk.
It was Juju, when he got the ball down low, would get fouled, and he'd hit his foul shots.
Yes.
That was their offense in the second half.
Or Queen would get fouled and miss his foul shots.
Yeah. That was basically, and Rice would hit an intermediate, but he wasn't getting, he's got that interplay with Gillespie, where Gillespie knows his hot spots, and the ball's there before the man's there, and it's the catch and shoot. There was none of that.
Rodney Rice was 2 of 4 from 3-point range. The rest of the team was 1 for 9.
And they still, even if it's a rough shooting night, they need to attempt more than 13 threes. In the modern game, with the way they're constructed, they need to attempt more than 13 threes.
And by the way, the one made three other than his was the 1-on-5 Selton Miguel from the corner.
Which I thought in real time was game, set, match.
Yeah.
As weird as the game was getting, I'm like, okay.
Because he has no business shooting that, and he hit it. And you're like, okay, they're good. I felt the same way. Hey, coming up next, we get back to the Ravens and the offseason news of the NFL honors last night. Lamar Jackson, first-team All-Pro, but not MVP. Make it make sense. We'll try next year on The Fan. So we had the announcement last night. The MVP in the National Football League was not Lamar Jackson. No MV3. It was Josh Allen. And we've talked throughout the show about the voting, and same people who voted for All-Pro, which was overwhelmingly Lamar Jackson, all of a sudden became Josh Allen. He wins a close vote. Guys like Dan Orlovsky, Jim Miller, Chris Sims voted Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson. And this morning on ESPN, it's interesting, former Raven, now he's a talking head on ESPN, Dominique Foxworth, responding to Dan Orlovsky and others who decided to vote for Josh Allen.
I'm glad that we have Dan here to defend him and the people who did this, but it does feel like you're trying to split the baby. Like, you don't got the heart to say what you actually want to say. I think both of them had MVP caliber seasons, but it feels like you are trying to find some little semantics trap doors. You can give this to him and that to them, because you don't actually want to say what you really want to say.
Which is what?
Lamar Jackson had the best season this year. And maybe you could argue
that's not the award, Dom.
See, this is the semantics foolishness that we do. This is what you do. You say value. And the cool thing about value, it gives us on these shows a way to argue, because you can twist it and turn it any way you want. Normally, MVP means who's the best damn dude in the league.
Yeah.
And it, to me, obviously, Josh Allen had an MVP caliber season. But the best damn dude in the league this year was the guy who was first team All Pro.
And so that, I think Dominique made a great point, and I think we all agree, we're not begrudging Josh Allen here. He's a very good football player. But the MVP award's supposed to be the best, to quote Dominique, the best damn dude in the league, and that guy was Lamar Jackson.
You know where this would have actually played? If Josh Allen had the year he had this year, last year, and this year's Josh Allen was up against last year's Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
I could have seen more of a case for Josh Allen.
He would have won it.
But it didn't happen that way. And just because Lamar kind of won it by default, where if you wanna totally keep it real, like, you could argue Dak Prescott had a better year than Lamar last year, and by any statistical measure, way better passer rating, way better touchdown interception. Like, if you count gross touchdowns, he beats them, he destroyed them in yardage. Like, you could have made that argument, but nobody was stepping up for Dak, because people don't love Dak the way they love Josh Allen, and people don't vote for their heart with Dak the way they do with Josh Allen. And, well, maybe there's other stuff going on too. But that I could have bought. But the idea that Josh Allen, playing an infinitely easier schedule than Lamar, coming up with way worse numbers across the board, Lamar setting the records he set, Lamar having his most MVP-worthy season ever, and doing it against 10 playoff teams, and doing it in a tougher division, and being a 120 quarterback rating passer against playoff teams and facing 10 of them.
And fourth best passer rating ever.
And Josh being 2-3 against playoff teams, including a loss to Lamar, and having a 92 passer rating against playoff teams. And Lamar damn near running for 1,000 yards and throwing for over 4,000. Lamar touching the ball that much and throwing so few interceptions. Stop it. Stop it.
We kept talking
towards the end of the regular season that this is a narrative award. It's going to be Josh Allen's turn. But where it turned for all of us was when Lamar was named first team All-Pro at quarterback. If Josh
By Allen, a large margin.
Large margin. If Josh Allen was named first team All-Pro quarterback, we would have been resigned to the fact that, well, of course he's going to win MVP. Having to do the mental gymnastics that Dan Orlovsky was responding to Dominique Fox, well, that's not what the award, like, what are we
Value.
Doing?
Come on.
What are we doing? Lamar did his story. There was never a quarterback that threw for 4,000 yards, rushed for 800. He rushed for over 900. Over 40 touchdown passes, less than 5 interceptions. That's never been done. You said it, Ken, 4th highest passer rating in the history of the game. And he didn't get an award. That's crazy.
Part of it is baffling, but it's also, isn't it very Lamar that he ends up like he's the guy who, you know, the first time in 20 plus years that this has happened to somebody, and the first time that people are finding ways to talk about whose turn it is or who's waited long enough.
Like 1987.
So yeah, way more than 20 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking 97. No, yeah, like
87.
Like, it just seems sort of oddly fitting because these people are such jackasses by and large when it comes to Lamar, that he tends to bring out the weirdest and the worst in a lot of people who are at least a little bit inclined to be stupid or weird.
Yeah.
It's just sort of on brand across the board that people would tie themselves into knots, not just to do what all logic and reason says. It almost feels like in hindsight, they feel like they screwed it up last year, so they're taking it away from Lamar this year.
Yeah.
Like, they don't think he's quite good enough that he should have 3 by the age of 28, and that he should have 3 in 5 years. So even though last year, you know, he in their minds, kind of stole it, now we're going to steal it back from him. That's what it feels like, and that's how these people operate.
Yeah.
That's why for years and decades, you didn't know what went on inside these rooms when they voted people in the Hall of Fame, because they didn't want you to know what kind of jackassery and shenanigans went over. And you do this for me, and I'll do that for you. It's an ugly political process. And I think they're now looking at it and saying, well, in hindsight, maybe we've been too good to Lamar, so now we're just going to throw a bone at Josh Allen.
And plus, Josh Allen,
even though we've admitted Lamar had the better season, because we just overwhelmingly, the same group of people said, yeah, he did.
So I want to take it a step further, because Lamar Jackson was either first or second in every ballot cast, 49 of the 50 ballots, except one, Jason. Jim Miller did not have him second, did not have him third. He had him fourth behind Saquon Barkley and Joe Burrow. Now what that
is, he really wanted Josh Allen to win
rookie of the year or player of the year.
Is he trolling? What is that?
He clearly really wanted Josh Allen to win.
Now, to full disclosure, if he voted him second, Lamar's not winning the MVP. But
he doesn't know that.
He does not know that. He does not know. You're absolutely right. He does
at
not
the
know
time
that.
He's doing it. He just knows you get a whole lot less points for 4 than you do for 2.
That's a great point.
That's what he knows.
He did not know that was not going to change the vote. It does. That one just seems like trolling. And what's interesting is it's come out on Twitter that the voters did not know their votes were going to be made public. And some, probably Jim Miller being one of them, is a little upset about it. Well, you know what? You do stupid things, you win stupid prizes.
I mean, look, is this the biggest atrocity in the history of the world? No, it's not even the biggest atrocity in the history of sports. Lamar will be fine, but it just does. It just reaffirms that when you have people doing things, making decisions, there will be among them some clowns, and buffoonery is very in vogue.
By the way, speaking of buffoonery, can we take a minute to discuss the Hall of Fame? Because we haven't discussed it at all.
I don't think the voters themselves could even explain how it works now.
So first of all, they didn't even give the full allotment of guys. Only 3 modern day, and then Sterling Sharpe deserves to get in. Like Sterling Sharpe, if he doesn't have a neck injury, his numbers were going to be out of control. Yes. He had to retire early, and I think a wrong was righted there.
Yes,
but I'm probably as big an Eric Allen guy as there is, because I grew up on the late 80s, early 90s Eagles, and he was great.
Hell of a football player.
But I don't think he deserves to get in over Luke Kuechly or maybe even Eli Manning. There's some other Torrey Holt. I don't still don't know why he's not in. Reggie Wayne. Like, this was weird last night.
I just know some of the Hall of Fame voters themselves were tweeting to each other, like, did you think this is how it was going to turn out? Like, I don't know. That process has been...
And they changed it.
Yeah, but it's been weird forever. I've never been involved. I never want to be involved. Yeah. They've got so many wrongs to try to right that they'll never get it right, because they're always chasing their tail, because for years we don't want to put this many of these guys in or that many of those guys in, and then you find yourself behind the eight ball.
But now it feels like they've gone backwards.
Oh, yeah.
And made it worse.
It does.
And Larry Fitzgerald and Drew Brees are first-year eligible next year. So is Phillip Rivers. Like, now you've created another backlog.
Wide receiver is just always a huge backlog for the Hall of Fame.
We'll come back at the text of the day. Well, we don't have a show to preview tomorrow. What do we have at 6 o'clock, Bob?
BFD.
Oh! I thought it was Boomer and Caliente or...
Valente.
Yeah.
That's afterwards.
Yeah, but BFD coming up at 6 here on The Fan. Boom, before we get to the text of the day, what do we got on BFD tonight?
We'll get more into Lamar Jackson getting snubbed out of MVP. Looking at the defensive line and edge. Bet Online Sportsbook brand manager Dave Mason, he's going to be joining us, talk all about the props available, and obviously preview Super Bowl 59.
What about studs and duds of the voters, of the AP voters, studs and duds?
You're speaking my language. Huh?
The people who kept it real, yes. Had Lamar as the first team All-Pro, yes, quarterback and the MVP. The people who did one of each.
Am I going to call who Didi did neither. A dud?
If you got to do what you got to. Hey, you
keeps it real,
bro. Studs and duds is about integrity.
Yes,
it's about honesty.
Yes.
It's about transparency, yes, above all, which some people seem to think wasn't going to apply, yeah, to their votes here.
Yeah.
Jim Miller could go down as an All-Pro dud.
He's first-team All-Pro dud.
He's in the Hall of Fame of duds.
I'm just saying, Bone, give the people what they want.
Yeah.
Let's get the text of the day.
Check 1-2.
I don't think he's going to do it.
Doesn't sound like
check
it.
Check of the day! Text of the day!
Text of the Day is sponsored by Orsman Automotives, driven by OrsmanCars.com. Your trade is always worth more at Orsman. Shop their entire inventory now at OrsmanCars.com. Text of the Day comes from Ryan in Baltimore, said, last night sucked as a whole for Baltimore sports fans. Sizzle doesn't get in the Hall of Fame, Lamar doesn't win MVP, and the Terps blow another road game.
Yeah, it was,
they were shut out.
It was a kick in the nads last night.
But the O's got, Rosny Contreras back on another Friday waiver run for Mike Elias.
They make things
they
happen on
Fridays. They
crush
it on Fridays.
And what's his name? Luis Vasquez cleared waivers. He's Simon to Norfolk.
Deep depth.
You need it. It's a long season, Jason.
Rosny Contreras is, he's interested me in the past.
Yeah. He's been on like 7 teams in the last 2 weeks, but.
Yeah, he's been bouncing around.
Yeah. But he's got.
But Ryan O'Hearn did that for a while.
Yes,
and
he did.
And he became one of their favorites.
Yes. Yeah.
They can't quit him now.
No.
Confused Keith Law.
He's
but
at
he's
the
still
Birdland
here.
Carnival.
Caravan. It's not a carnival, Jason. It's a caravan.
Mean Dean Kramer.
Not
at the Birdland Caravan.
Dean, no.
Mean Dean was not down with the caravan, I guess. So like maybe a prior
commitment. They better know better than to pick a fight with Mean Dean.
He keeps
it real.
Might have had a prior commitment.
Don't poke the bear. Yeah. Hey, I'm not going to tell you how to run your baseball team.
Well, one of the craziest 180s in the history of this show.
He's the conscience of the team.
Jason going
he's the
from
conscience.
Hating
he's
Dean
the conscience of the locker room.
Loving Mean. He was this close to getting his jersey. Oh,
some of the group texts.
This close.
Yeah. The way it is.
Maybe
changed.
This is the year, Bone.
Yeah, I think you
I
might.
I hope so. God,
what's he have
so.
To do? Start a playoff? Win a playoff game? Or what? Do you, what
I don't know.
Do?
You get Sharky one now.
I forget what you said. If he goes out and shoves in a playoff game, I think he said.
Yeah.
All right. So that still stands.
Absolutely.
I think you get Sharky one now.
Can I have it say, can I get it that says Mean Dean on the back instead of Kramer? Or does it have to say Kramer?
No, I mean, I think it's better with Mean Dean.
Better with Mean Dean?
Is Sharky a Mean Dean?
Mean Dean, voice of the team? I can fit all that. I don't know how much I can fit back there.
It's going to have to. Ken, are you a fan? He pitched for the Israeli national team.
Oh, no, he's been Mean Dean's guy forever.
Jews love Jews. Yeah, that's right. Come on, Ben.
Jews love Jews.
Yeah, of course. I've seen him at the meetings. Yeah. Thanks.
Jason should get an Israeli Dean Kramer jersey.
That would be pretty.
Deep
that
cut.
Would be a nice
cool.
fine.
Deep cut.
Fine with that would be a nice
that
jersey.
Would be cool.
Lots got to happen, but yeah, let's do it.
What if Mean Dean?
I'm worried Mean Dean's going to talk his way off the team. I'm worried he's not even going to be here by the deadline. If this goes the way I think it could, Mean Dean's going to be the first guy they trade out of here. Yeah. Like that guy's a truth teller. We're going to get him out of here.
If Mean Dean pops off first day, first media avail at spring training, you got
to
get
Elias is like, that guy sees right through me. He's got to go.
Yeah.
That's why they've got 14 number three starters.
Yeah, winning a lot of poker hands, but not playoff games. That is it for us. BFD coming up next, followed by Boomer and
Valenti.
That's at 7 here, or 7, 7, 8.
That's how time works.
Well, I didn't know if he's on for 1 or 2
seven,
hours.
Seven. Yeah, 7. Depends if Studs and Duds go extra long.
That's true.
He takes us up on our offer.
Just turn into BFD. You'll be happy. That's next here on The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.